want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 440. Holy cow, 440. Recorded live on February 24th, 2016. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat, with
Scott Bergs
and Taz427.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by cache-advance.com for all your geocaching needs. Cache-advance.com. Go find it. Well, if you listen intently, you may hear, let's see. Of course, it doesn't do it when I want it to. I have the windows open at the GeoSnippet Studios because it's like 73 degrees out, and we literally had spring-like weather. We had tornadoes in the area, thunderstorms rolling through, and 70-mile-an-hour winds. And you'll probably hear, because the wind gusts kick off every once in a while, you will probably hear some chimes in the background. So we're not trying to get totally zen, but that's what's happening. The wind's kicking off my wind chimes.
Did the witch go flying by?
I saw a cow go by. That was cool. Yeah, another cow. So I'm just saying.
That's the same cow.
Yes, I love Twister. It was great.
And so it's like freezing here.
Is we it?
We had like Midwest is getting pounded by Mother Nature. She's just like, it's not spring yet. It's not spring yet.
Screw that, you know, groundhog.
After all the 50 degrees we've been having, she finally came back and bitch slapped the Midwest, for lack of a better term. And thank you. We're getting hit. And actually, I didn't get it that bad, but my work, which is where I was at today, was getting hit pretty bad. They actually let us go early, and that's saying something. You know,
wow.
We live in Chicago. They're like, go home, man. Get out of here at 2. So I went to work, and I got out early. How about that? So I went caching, and I cached in the snow. But it's supposed to be 50 degrees again this weekend, so
that's going to be great.
The warm weather will be back.
Oh, love it. How about you, Chad?
It's been running in the 70s here recently, so pretty nice weather. But, waking up in the 40s and then being in the 70s, I'm just not used to that. Houston, it's like, you know, you wake up in the 80s and you go to the 90s and you know, you go back into the 80s, you know. But this temperature differential is just weird.
Yeah, it is something to get used to.
You grew up in the Midwest.
I was
going to
say, you were an Indiana boy, weren't
you? I probably was, but 20 years makes you forget a lot. 20 years.
Oh, you're a Husker at heart, dude. Come on.
I was going to say, though, I mean, with Texas, you're either on.
Excuse me, yeah. Excuse
me. With Texas, you're either on fire or underwater. So, I mean, you know, California, you get a little bit more season there. You might actually have a spring. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, so needless to say, the weather for me is again, you know, we had ice, you know, 2 weeks ago, and now we're in the 70s again. So, yeah, I can't wait for this weekend. It looks like they actually gave me a weekend off. So I'm going to actually go out and do geocaching. So,
wow. Very nice.
Oh, can't wait. So, yeah.
I have no kids this weekend. So, And I've got Jesse who has a paper to write, so I guess it's probably going to be me and Cody Dog all weekend because I'm going out caching in this beautiful weather.
Oh, yeah. Now, you're going to have to wear boots? I mean,
yeah, I'll wear my hiking boots just because I'm sure it's going to be quite moist out there, you know, in the dirt. So,
Well, yeah, I'm thinking bog, so, I mean, you know.
It's going to be snowy, but it's going to be, you know, wet, for lack of a better term.
Oh, yeah. And the ground here is so saturated, it's not even funny. So I will be wearing my, you know, fishing waders to go geocaching.
That bad, really?
Oh, yeah. It's terrible here. The water is so high, it's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah. How about you, Chad? Does it just roll all downhill there or what?
Yeah, it pretty much rolls all downhill. I mean, you know, we've had a relatively wet winter, and heck, even Folsom Lake is about full.
Yeah.
You know, they're letting water out because they got 22 feet of pack up in the Sierras, and it's like, yeah, it's like all that could refill the lake twice over.
Wow. Weren't you guys in a drought, though?
Yeah, we've been in a drought for years, but El Nino and stuff is she's hammering away, and I think technically parts of it is still in a drought, but we're getting out of it.
Wow, that's awesome.
Did you ever see that documentary about El Nino, how just incredible it is?
Like, oh, it affects everything. It affects everything.
Amazing how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, butterfly flaps its wing in China. Oh, wait, no, that's something else. all right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. And what's coming up this week on Geo Gearheads is episode 217, Boating 2. Wow, they still got things in the double digits. That's amazing. Aaron Weed from coinsandpins.com returns to talk more about geocaching and boating. They're looking this time at what it takes to hide a good cache for boaters and more. Oh, that's interesting. I like that. All right, good stuff. So that's tomorrow on Geo Gearheads. And also, before you stop off there, stop off at the Geo Snippets Reboot podcast, where wife Amy and I will be going way back in the Wayback Machine, actually all the way back to episode 3 of the Geo Snippets Reboot podcast, where we're talking about the original Dealing with Muggles. So that should be fun. We're going to be pulling up the differences between 3 years ago when we had that episode with the bear, and the differences between now and then. I mean, just to make you think about something, remember when you went out geocaching with your GPSR and you came up with, you know, a muggle was coming by and you put it up by your ear like it was a phone? Yeah. Nowadays,
now you put your phone up.
Now you put your phone up. So just
now you just do texting.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the differences that we've had over the last 3 years, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So be sure to stop on by and check out the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast. And finally, please, cost money to do podcasts. And believe me, I know we just paid a whole lot in bills, just saying. If you would consider going to geocachingpodcast.com and clicking on the Patreon or the PayPal markers there and throw a couple bucks to us each week or month, whatever you would like, we'll take it because we need the money and it helps keep us doing the show. And quite frankly, we couldn't do it without you. So please consider becoming a patron of our show. We would really, really appreciate it. All right, let's move on to see that you can hear the chimes now.
Yeah, I hear them now.
That's so zen. Anyways,
I know.
Or I girly, however Scott wants to talk about it at the time.
I want to do yoga now.
All right, let's move on to the geocaching question of the day. Geocaching question of the day.
Hey cachers, this is Lookout Lisa from Cache Advance, and I'm your host for the geocaching question of the day. Well, Cache Advance is your geocaching hub for all your caching needs, including the Cache Crate, a monthly subscription box of geocaching and outdoor gear. Well, Mondays through Thursdays, we ask our followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ a question about geocaching. We recently asked, have you ever found a tick on yourself after geocaching? Well, after tallying all the answers, we found that only 5% of cachers have not found a tick after geocaching.
I can't believe it's
so
that high.
So here's what we heard. Doug is one of the few. He, on Facebook, shared, nope, only while hiking with my family during my sabbatical from geocaching. Well, David on Twitter shared, only one? If you've only found one, you weren't looking hard enough. Oh, no. Well, James on Facebook shared, both during and after geocaching. And the rest of the day, I will be finding imaginary ticks crawling all over me. You know, James, I exactly know what you mean by that. Well, Ron shared, yes, and they tick me off. Well, Tom on Google Plus shared, yes, a number of times. While Minnesota may not be the tick capital of the world, it's still a major problem. Most tick contact in this area is between May and August, but they can show up anytime between late March and mid-November. In 2014, I ended up with a case of Lyme disease that took about 6 weeks to diagnose. Oh, I got it from one of the ticks I came into contact with that fall. My wife also has been treated for Lyme disease. Wow, Tom. Oh. Well, luckily, Lyme disease is pretty rare here in the Inland Northwest. However, one of my local geofriends was finally diagnosed with Lyme disease after a trip to Pennsylvania back east. So, to be honest, we really didn't enjoy so much hearing about ticks, but you can as well if you follow us, Cache Advance, on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus for the geocaching question of the day. Thanks all, and happy caching.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for creeping us all out and getting us itchy. Now I got the phantom feelings. I know exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah. My record is pulling off 8 in a day. That's my record.
Wow. I remember it was in, what was it, the Geo Woodstock in Tennessee, the one at Belt Buckle or whatever it was called.
Mm-hmm.
There were people with hundreds of the sea ticks. Where, that's no fun.
It was plenty. Like sitting there going, 1, 2.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as a kid, I was a tick magnet. You know, they loved my head and stuff.
Oh, really?
Geocaching, I always wear a hat when I'm out in the woods. Yep. I have never found a tick on me while geocaching.
Really?
I find them, but it's not my head.
No, I get them on my arms and on my legs. I can feel them crawling. I mean,
I get them at the belt line sometimes.
Many times I've dropped trowel right there in the woods and gotten that thing off my leg.
Yes, because you feel it.
Yeah, if I feel it, I've had insects, bugs, and stuff crawling on me, and I found them. I will notice it. Not a tick.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. That was Bell Buckle that they had that, and I literally remember people saying they were just peeling their clothes off when they got to whatever spot they could do that just to throw it in the washer and just get them off because they were hungry.
I have friends who are cashiers who have actually like doused their clothes, like washed their clothes there's that certain tick thing. I can't remember the name, but somebody in the chat room, if you know, holler it out. It's a liquid stuff that you literally you drench your clothes in it and you let them dry, and it's supposed to be a tick.
It helps keep it away.
And it's supposed to be, it really does. I've never tried it personally, but I have people that actually swear by it.
Yeah, and they call where we are in North Carolina, we're literally the belt buckle of the tick belt, is the way that they put it. And it's
we're bad. I think Wisconsin's worse. Wisconsin's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Which I go to all the time. And those Wisconsin's got Lyme disease. They really have Lyme disease.
Oh, yeah. There. Yeah, we got it here, too.
But
and if you're lucky.
It depends on the preserve.
Yeah.
My biggest problem was chiggers.
We do have them here. That's a whole different story there.
Chiggers. And after that, for the next several times, I'm spraying down my jeans.
I went through in certain parts, actually in where I used to live in the lawn, we did not know it had chigger nests. And I had several hundred bites on both feet because I went through it with flip-flops. And 2 weeks of pure hell.
So we have a cache here that you have to if you're claustrophobic, you'll never do it. You have to army crawl about 150 feet in to get a cache,
right?
In this tiny little, and I came out, and like after that for a week, my legs were just covered in like bites.
Yeah,
I'm sure they were chigger bites, because it wasn't.
Yes, now that I am now completely creeped out, we'll do a whole show on those when spring pops around because even here in North Carolina, there is no dead period of ticks. You can get them anywhere, anytime.
It's the joy of winter, man. It's the joy of winter. Ticks are gone. The only thing good about winter caching is there's no ticks, man.
The bugs go, the flying bugs go away, but the ticks are forever. All right, let's move on because I'm starting to itch. I'm just saying. All right, episode 440, periscoping while geocaching and also geocaching video do's and don'ts. We have seen over the past, it's been almost a year now that I think the folks over at OB kind of brought people into the idea of periscoping. I think they're one of the first ones that really made it aware.
That's where I got it from. I got it from Mark.
Yeah.
Credit where credit's kids do.
Yeah, exactly. And we've seen it kind of grow into this cool little click, I guess is the best way you can put it, when it comes to periscoping. And the other thing that I notice is there are a lot more geocachers now that are putting out actual geocaching videos, like on YouTube and Facebook, and I think they're coming to get me. Anyways, so yeah, I thought it would be a kind of a good thing to go over our perspectives of where do you think Periscope is going? Is it settling down? Is it still growing? Because they're adding features to it. They're keeping things going. But I was curious what your thoughts are on that.
Is it growing? I don't know if it's growing. I don't know. I mean, I don't see more. You know, I see the regulars doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't see more people doing it, or I'm just not following them. You know, they're not getting me to follow them, because I'll usually follow anybody. If they follow me, I'll follow you back.
Oh yeah.
It had its, like, you know, when it first came out, you know, that whistle was coming all the time. You know.
Oh about, yeah, weekends, you know, it went nuts.
Yeah, but now I don't hear it that much. You know, I don't hear it that often anymore. You know, like. I mean, I try. People say, like, I periscope a ton, which I don't think I do. I don't. I think, you know, Josh periscopes way more.
Oh, Josh is a periscoping fiend.
Maybe once a week I do it. Maybe it's like people are like, you do it all the time. I'm like, I don't think I do. I don't try to. You know, I just, if I find a cool cache, or, you know, me and Jesse went for an FTF the other night, and I did that one just because I felt I haven't done it in a while.
Right.
You know, and it was kind of cool going for an FTF. It's always fun to see if you got it or not. You know, so. And it was the woods at night, and it's just me and Jesse, and, you know, I thought it was kind
of
cool.
I've never seen it go really out of hand. Of course, I don't follow everybody. I'll follow people that I know that'll make them, but I don't follow every follower, so there may be some people that I'm missing for that. But it really, it's I've got probably maybe two dozen people that I follow on a regular basis that I know that are going to put one out at least once a month, or, you know, every other week, whatever, and go that way.
Yeah, I think it had its initial run. Now it's calmed down to a, you know, now it's not every cache you go to. It's just, you know, if you come across something cool or something along those lines. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've had hundreds of caches that I didn't.
For the cool ones, do you normally find it and you realize it was cool and then kind of step away, start it, and act like you're going to find it?
No, I don't, because I like everything to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Spontaneous?
Yeah.
I like everything to be that, so I'll know because it's got a crap ton of favorite points, so I know it's probably going to be something special. Okay. You know, I've never like, okay, let's do it again, but let's fake it. Me and Jesse have never done that. You know, never. You know?
I know some geocaching video loggers.
Oh yeah.
I won't name anyone in particular that do that. They, you know, they set it up, they find it, and then they go, really? They go recreate it.
Staging? Never heard of it.
No. Never done it.
The
never.
Ones that, and I'll come off the truth, you know, bring out the truth stick with it. If it's one where Amy and I are trying to do and either we're like, okay, we're just going to show the vlog, and if we get a DNF, then that's it. But if there's one where it's like you're in minute 30 and you're still not finding it, it's like, we'll shut it off until we find it, and then we'll continue.
You know, the funny thing is Jesse and I have done that. And I have had one to the 17-minute one where we were on a caboose and we couldn't find the goddamn thing. And I was
watching that one. That was one of the few that I've watched.
And we almost turned it off, and everybody was like, no, dude, we're invested now. You can't turn this thing off.
Oh, yeah,
like,
exactly, no. Exactly. You brought us on the adventure. We're going to with you one way or the other.
And we finally, how did we figure it out? We did a
phone a friend.
A phone a friend, but actually, and then got him on, and then he hot cold Jesse to the cache. We got him on Periscope, and you're hot, you're cold, you're cold, you're hot. Yeah, so that's how we finally got it. But, like, usually, I mean, mine are always, you know, you talk about do's and don'ts, and it's, you know, mine are always less than 5 minutes if you've ever seen mine. I try and keep it below 5 minutes just because I've noticed that once I pass that five-minute mark, that you drop.
Yeah,
you know,
people drop. It's like, okay, I'll check it out when he's found.
So I try and find it pretty quick. I've never, like, I've never staged one. You see, I sometimes it takes me a little while to find it because it's hard to periscope and find it, especially if I'm by myself. It takes me a little bit to find it, but
yeah, because you're trying to do that rapport with the people that are Australia, hey from whatever, yeah, and it's cool to talk to them, and it's right. like you have no attention span because now you're concentrating on that instead of what you're trying to look.
I used to laugh
or
at Daryl
when Corey and you roll down the hill.
I used to laugh at Daryl because Daryl would periscope and he wouldn't say anything. I'm like, dude, you got to speak.
Yeah, you got to talk. It's a rapport thing. Come on, talk to the people.
So it's one of those, like, I mean, and I've had many periscopes where we've DNF'd the cache, which I forget it, let's go. You know, especially on jewel caching day. Oh my God, we DNF'd a ton.
The fun factor's off next.
Yeah, right. It wasn't fun anymore. So, but I try and keep it under five as best I can, you know, and talk to people and try and answer questions. I can't, you know, if you're looking, it's hard to do that, but, I enjoy talking to them and bringing people along, you know.
And it's from all around the world. That's the thing that just blows my mind. You got people from 19 different countries at the same time watching you do something.
And I like that. I like, you know, I watch Mark and I sit there and I just berate him as he's digging up in your cache and he can't find it and I'm ripping him apart. You know, to me that's fun. You know, to do to Mark is to pick on him.
It's awesome.
So it's fun to do that stuff. But, and I have Jesse who's really the star of my periscopes.
Oh yeah.
She's on it. I'm not on it. I'm filming it. You know, she's the one who's on it. So, you know, if she's not there, I mean, yeah, I get, where's Jesse? You know, we don't want your ass. We want Jesse. So it's also nice because you know, people get to see her, you know, and get to see how she is and how funny she is, and, you know. And so it's nice that people get to, you know, get to come along with us. You know, and when we went to Mingo, we did Mingo for the people who will never get there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of nice to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, because you really are meeting up with a bunch of your friends at the same time, and I'm seeing a lot of stuff, just like we have with the folks in the chat room and what have you. It's your extended family. It's your extended people that you just meet up, and it's, if we had the beers, we'd be drinking. I mean, you know, it's just one of those type things.
It's a pretty incredible invention. It really is. I mean, hats off to whoever did it. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it's so simple, and yet it's ingenious.
Yeah.
You know. And we're living in a time that you can have that kind of thing.
Yeah, because you know? I used to get a kick. Weird Al Yankovic, which I've been a fan forever, and I won't even get into that. But he would do weird things on Twitter, where he's like, "Hey, I'm at the airport. I've got a payphone right here. Here's the number. Somebody call me." And it's that kind of thing with Periscope. It's like, "Hey, you know what? I got nothing to do. What you up to?" And just boom.
That's literally what it is. You can go on, boom. I once got on because I was waiting for my Mac to load and it was taking too long in the update and it was bugging the shit out of me. Oh, sorry. And so I was just venting my frustration to anybody who would listen, screaming at my Mac, you know, because it wouldn't freaking load quick enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's
things like that makes you laugh, but it, you know, keeps you sane.
I really don't think, shy of, like you said, with length, there really isn't too many don'ts with periscoping. If you have a good connection, it's usually better. The quality's a lot better than looking like you're looking through plexiglass to do it. But
here's one don't that I found out. Don't start periscoping with your wife when she doesn't know it.
Who does that?
I started periscoping the Star Wars.
Yeah, I saw that.
Afterwards, my wife's was that live? Is like, Aaron, was that going out? Or are you gonna send that? No, are you gonna send that video out? It's like, no, I was live with people.
Yeah.
That was live on the internet, honey. That was live on the internet.
You're now famous. Of course, Amy just ducks now. That's like when I went to, and I told her, and you can imagine the eyes rolling in the back of her head when I said, hey, let's go to Walmart just before the snowstorm and show them what it's really like for those French toast parties. And just, we went in there, we went to the bread aisle, and she just kind of went around an end cap. On the other side while I'm periscoping. It's like, honey, come here. You just go ahead. Have fun. It's like, you don't know quality journalism when you see it.
I want to periscope one of the peoples of Walmart
Oh,
I want to find one of the man people at Walmart and Periscope.
There is too much material. Too much material.
Yeah. It's a fantastic little app. It really is. It's I've learned to love it. It's made geocaching a lot more fun.
Yes,
especially when you find something really cool and you want to share it with people.
Yeah,
because usually you just have to tell people about it. Like, oh, I went to this great cache today.
Yeah,
and now you can tell the world. You know, you can show the world it. You know, the only thing I regret is some of my I always forget to turn off. And guys, you can do this in Periscope if you didn't know. You can shut off where you are.
Ah, yeah.
I always forget to do that, and I mean to do it, especially okay. when I'm in a puzzle cache.
Right.
And that pisses me off because I show people where a puzzle final is, you know.
Okay.
So, I mean, granted, it's only 24 hours. But, yeah, there's a – make sure if you're at a puzzle final and you are Periscoping it, you can turn off – because you know, if you notice Periscope, it shows on a map where you are. It shows a map of exactly where you are. You can shut that off, so people cannot see where you are. So
excellent
if you're
in a suggestion.
Puzzle
final, yeah, because I was thinking about Periscoping, sending my son up a tree on a couple of puzzles. I went and found where the caches are, but you know, with my knee, I wasn't climbing.
Yeah, you were telling me about that. Yeah, you left it. Yeah.
Thinking about maybe next weekend going out there with my son and send him up the tree and Periscope.
I'm opening up the app right now. If you open up the app and if you go live, like to the live spot, you'll see there's four icons.
Yeah, turn off location. Yeah.
Yeah, you see that?
Yep.
There's Twitter. There's a location, a lock, people being able to talk, and then Twitter. If you shut off that, if you click that location, you could shut it off.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
but it's fun. Device. It really is, and I think the other thing that I like about Periscope too is you. A lot of times you're right in the middle of something when you hear that whistle, and you can't get to it live, but you got enough time to go back to say, "Oh, Scott's done that today, so let's check that," and you have enough time to go through and check out what whoever did what.
And if you don't, there's always catch.
Yeah.
You know, it was a KATCH.ME. Is that what it is? Catch me, right?
I think so.
I think that's it, too. And then, like, I'm at catch.me/Scott Burks.
Right.
You know, one word. And if you go there, you can see all the videos I've done the past, I don't know how long, forever.
That's awesome. And it's fun to do a database or a fan base with this as well. It's fun to people that, you know, they want to see you doing things, so they will check it out and come back time and time again. I mean, you look at Joshua. He you can't even tell it's hearts anymore. It's just a stream of colors that go on the right side of the screen.
Yeah. So. But that also helps with his vlogs, you know. And the vlog, I've seen the vlogs. And there's so many geocachers I've never heard of that are doing vlogs that like really sprouted out of nowhere.
Yes.
That did a whole huge, like, just, I don't know, when did that get so popular?
Actually, that's a great transition, because that's the other thing that we're going to be talking about is YouTube videos with the do's and don'ts for that, for geocaching. You are so correct. One of the people that, and I'll do a plug for my GeoSnippets Reboot podcast patch that we're doing a fundraiser for to get a new computer. Several geocachers have been doing, it's not unboxing, it's unenveloping, because that's what it comes in. And they go through.
Well, Andy, you can't afford a box. What's wrong?
Well, it's a 2.5 by 2.5, you know, type thing.
And you put it in a 3-foot by 3-foot box.
Tape it to the bottom. That brings back too many stories.
Hey, but peanuts in there. What you do?
35mm containers. Just saying. Brings back bad memories. Anyways, so people have been doing unboxings or unenveloping of it, and I find out that they do vlogs. Like the one that I just found out this past week. Was the Tennessee Cacher, and he doesn't do just geocaching. He does other videos as well. I had no clue that they do that, and it's amazing how many other people that do geocaching videos.
You know what they need? Here's my $1 million idea. Well, it's not $1 million. A directory.
Yes. I'm sure they have stuff out there, and I'll tell you what, YouTube search is no longer well done for that. You don't get the right information, and I've dropped out of the top list. Thank you, Joshua.
Either FDF Magazine or something along those lines.
Yes.
directory
yes.
of all the geocaching bloggers or something, or even geocaching.com. Yeah. I don't care.
There was a time where Ted Hart had quite a few videos on YouTube, and that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, but were you a vlogger? I don't consider.
No, those were tutorials back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't consider that. Like, it's not like in the field. And like, then let's go get a cache.
Joshua kind of came along. Thank you, Joshua, the geocaching
But now there's
vlogger.
So many of them, and it's a shame because they're not being found because of people like Joshua.
Yes, who hog it all. I'm just saying. And I'm not bitter. I'm just saying.
Air quote vlog superstar, if I could do that, you know. But he's more the well-known kind of vlogger, you know. And you've got Memphis Mafia, isn't he? He's a vlogger,
too.
There's
tons of them. And that's you just know, there. I mean, you've got from all around all the them. World.
You know, if there's a ton of them, yeah. And who could have a much bigger audience if the audience knew they were there?
Yeah, you know, and if you put in geocaching vlogs on YouTube, it just blows up. There's just, I mean, I remember way back when where if you put geocaching in YouTube, there were maybe 1,500 videos way back when. There are hundreds of thousands of them now.
Taz, do you watch any of them, Taz?
I used to watch a lot of them, and I just put geocaching in there, 136,000 results.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like people, if you don't put them out like Josh or myself way back when, where we were putting them out every week, mm-hmm. and you right. hit, and it's just like web-based metadata. If you put in the right catchwords and the right keywords that were in this would put you at the top of the list. I can guarantee you most of them do not understand how that works. So mm-hmm. you put in geocaching vlog and they're like, well, why don't I show up in the listing? There's a whole thing yeah. that you can get into that.
Right.
I mean, that's yeah, also, yeah. I mean, go ahead.
I love the Sven. So, you know, it's a tragedy a couple of years ago, but Sven used to make some great ones where it was he was kind of giving away some of the
spoilers.
Really, really cool caches.
Yes.
You know, if you didn't know where they're at, especially if you're in the U.S., it was great to watch them because it gives you great ideas about caches. And there's a guy in the Northwest, Kenny.
Yes.
If you can handle a 20-minute episode,
yes.
You know, they're great. It shows you a lot of nature and that kind of stuff.
20
but,
minutes? Really?
Yeah, some
good. I don't mean to toot, you know, the horn of Josh, but like, what's great is they're quick, you know.
Right.
In most cases, if you can keep it around 5 minutes or so, you're rocking with that, and you do drop off a lot when you have the longer ones. But some of they want to show the adventure, they want to show the entire story, and
I agree.
If people love it, they will. If you make it, they will watch, and that's the simple truth. You know, the trick is though, you have to make them. Because keep it going. I mean, don't stop. If you, I mean, the first time that I did a GeoSnippets video, I did it on a bison tube. And it was a 7-minute video on a bison tube. And the first thing that got me hooked is people immediately wrote back and said, more. Make more. I want more. And people now, they live vicariously through these videos because a lot of them can't get out. They can't get to that part of the world. Whatever it takes for that. Make them because people will watch.
Yeah, and I have mad respect, especially for Josh, because his are produced very, very, very well.
Yes,
like my periscopes are dirty and cheap, and that's why I love it.
On the fly,
I have no desire to sit there and spend 4 hours and edit video and put all the After Effects into it.
And we can tell you about that.
I mean, his videos look like a nightmare to create.
Yes,
for him they're probably a piece of cake. He's been doing it for years, but it looks like a nightmare, and I have no desire to do that. Which is why I don't vlog.
Because
I'm just too damn old and too damn lazy. I'd rather just like hit Periscope and be like, look at the cash, and then be like, later. You know,
I've recorded a number of them, and then it's like, trying to put them together, it's like, you know, this was too much of a pain in the ass.
Right, yeah,
well, like, I can speak for Josh because I have the exact same experience when I do the vlogs or when I do the tutorials. It's a small-time job. You will spend 20, 30 hours a week. If you, by the time you do your setup, you do your planning, you do your, bring your system, your video cameras, the second, you know, all the things that go mm-hmm. along with it, actually video the actual event as you're doing it, bringing it back, and then editing all the parts. If you don't have to do sound work that's involved with that as well, you're I would put into an 8-minute Geo Snippets video, I would easily put 8 hours worth of work into it.
Oh my God.
So I'm just saying yeah. that it's that much work that's into those.
It. You have to you have to really, really love it
yes.
to do that. And Josh looks like he loves it.
Oh, yeah.
I know he hates it.
Vlogs are a lot better because you don't have to – all you have to do is film the event – do some B-roll and slap it together and you got yourself a vlog. It's not as difficult as, like, say, if you want to do a full-blown tutorial, you've got mm-hmm. a script, you've got all the key points you've got to make, all the other stuff that goes with it. At least with a vlog, it's like, I'll show you getting to the cache, I will show you the cache, I will show you about the cache and leave.
But the After Effects stuff, that's what it is.
Yeah.
All that stuff, that's
all the editing. Yep.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Oh, yeah. It's a love, that's for sure. But that's how it
goes. God bless the people who do it because, you know, I like watching them and I have no desire to put that much effort into it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy with the Periscopes and I'm happy, you know, I'm an audio guy is what I said. I like audio.
Speaking of audio, there's two things. If you're doing Periscope, it's not as much. You don't have to worry about lighting. You don't have to worry about anything right. with yeah. that. Mm-hmm. If you're actually doing like a YouTube video thing, there's two things that will make or break a video. It's like, why aren't people watching this? One is the lighting that you're doing with it so that you're not doing the proverbial coal mine black, you can't see anything, or it's so fuzzy you can't tell what you're looking at. The second thing is audio. If you have poor sound in a YouTube video, that will turn off people quicker than anything. So you really? Have to really make sure. That's why, like when Josh does his, he uses the camera as much. He doesn't use the mics as much as we used to. But a good sound to a video is key for that.
I would say that'll also kill it. you have to be semi-steady.
Yes. Shake hand does not work.
I've seen some where, you know, that's just complete shake constantly. And yes. It's like, I'm sorry, I can't watch you. You know, I like your personality. I like what you're doing.
Yep.
But I can't watch your videos.
Yeah. Yeah. And
well, don't most of the GoPros, and I know the Apple 6S or Apple 6 has it now, they have the
handy shake thing.
No, like it, where it's automatically it straightens it out for you. I can't think of the term.
Yeah, there's a Steadicam kind of.
It's like Steadicam. Is that like a built-in kind of Steadicam-ish?
Most of the higher end smartphones will have that built in now, where you can at least has some form of shake reduction. Actually your standard point and shoot cameras now usually have a very good Steadicam on it as well.
Is the GoPro? I mean, I know Josh uses a GoPro. I know he's got that.
It can be, but just your standard GoPros. 35. Yeah.
Yeah, they do?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, the GoPros specifically do because they're made for going down the hill of the mountain on your one skate down Mount Everest type thing.
With it on your head.
With it on your
Watch
head.
Watch me die.
But online. The gorgeous filming, if we can find the camera. But it's very, very important for keeping the camera as steady as possible. That's why, again, when we were doing the videos in the old days, we brought tripods and stuff just because to keep the camera steady while we're doing stuff. So, yeah, that's all part of the fun. But if you remember what you're shooting and tell the story is the big thing. If you're going through, don't just say, well, here's the cache, we're done. That's what Periscope's for. If you're doing an adventure through the woods, do some B-roll. Show some of the trees. Show some of the wildlife. Show some of the stuff. And you don't have to do 30 minutes of it. Just do 10-second blurbs while you're describing something else that you're telling your story with. It's great background stuff. That's the whole reason why you do B-roll. And that just makes it your entire video flow from one thing to the next. Mm-hmm. Very, very key stuff.
Yeah, you got to be a video kind of person for that. I'm just
it's a little bit of talent. It's like, you know, if you're on a road trip to three different geocaches, wow, wouldn't it be cool to have three different 5 or 7 second segments of you driving on the road?
Right.
So that you get the idea that you're actually traveling from one place to the next. And then, what you know, you're walking down a trail to get to it. Well, show some of the trail.
Right.
You know, that's all key for those type of things.
I've always been more comfortable in front of a microphone than I was in front of a camera. Always.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well,
which is why I'm usually behind the camera.
Yes.
Periscoping.
Well, actually, if you really think about it, with periscoping, how many people have come out of their shell to do these videos now? They never would have thought about going out and doing it.
And it's great, yeah. You know, and I always recommend people, you know, to do that. I'm a very extrovert person, you know, and I'm dating an introvert, you know, and so it's funny how it's, you know, we're very different people. But Jessie, you'd never know that from the periscopes.
No.
You know, she comes out of her shell when because she's with me.
Exactly.
It's not another person is there. There's, you know, 50 people watching, but she doesn't know that or, you know, she can't see that. So,
yeah.
So the introvert is not like shy away. It's she's just being me. She said the way she is around me. She's not introverted around me. You know, it's just, so it's kind of nice because people get to see the real her, not the person that, you know, that they see when she's, you know, when the
headlights.
Yeah, when there's a crowd of people around,
yeah.
You know.
Well, that's the same thing with Amy. People absolutely do not understand. She is terrified of crowds, absolutely terrified to be around people when it comes to this. And then you get her on the podcast next to me, and it's like totally different person. If I have to leave to go get something, then it's back to deer in front of the headlights. What do I do? What do I say? What do I do? I don't understand.
Well, that she's comfortable. She needs you.
Yeah, because and then away it goes. We get the conversation going, and we're happy as clams. But the same thing with the periscope. It's like, hey, Amy, tell me about Amy.
Yeah, that's great that they could, that happens that they're over that they're able to do that, and you know,
yeah,
and. Like I say, it's a great time that we live in. I love the time we live in. I'm so happy to be alive in this day and age because it's just a great time, you know, when the fact that I can, you know, every night I my 5-year old and I, my I shouldn't say this, my 5-year old and I play Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront, PS4 together, you know, and we talk with the headphones and I'm playing a game with my 5-year old who's, you know, 30 miles away.
Yeah,
but we're bonding. You know what I'm saying? We're having that
absolutely.
Bonding. Absolutely. And it's incredible that I can do that. You know that I can FaceTime and see my kids, you know, whenever I want is incredible.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it just never was that way. I mean, okay, let's go back way back machine. One of the first games that you could do from PC to PC, I remember doing with my brother, which we were probably 80 miles apart at that time, was X-Wing TIE Fighter.
Sure, absolutely.
Yes. And you could actually hook up and you could see him in his ship with me in my ship, and then we blow each other up. And just to be able to have that connection, and now you're in places where there's, you know, tens of thousands of people in a reality that are all having fun at the same time all around the planet. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's amazing. The fact that I can call Mark in England and I can talk to him on Skype for free.
Yes.
Is astounding. Yep. You know, and we could sit there and have a conversation with each other.
Well, it's simple. I remember one time not too long ago, I was messaging with Colin, and we did this conversation, and next thing you know, like half hour went by, and he said, "Do you realize we're on opposite sides of the planet?" And it's like I'm talking to you in the next room,
and
it's awesome.
I was talking to Mark, and my kids are laughing because he's got an English accent, you know, and they're laughing at
him. Oh, really? I never noticed.
Yeah, it's incredible, you know, that we're alive to see that. I remember I used to call England, and it was like, you know, 20 cents a minute.
Oh God, yes.
Not more. You know, it was insane. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, what a great time. We all take it for granted, but it's an amazing time we live in.
Absolutely.
You know, that we can do that and play video games with my son who's 30 miles away. You know, we're not even in the same room and we're playing video games together.
Seeing visual representations of them, you know, like you said, playing Battlezone or whatever, and it's like, hey, I'm right here. You know, he can tap you, and I'm right
amazing.
Here.
You know, it's amazing. And so to be able to take people just on our adventures, you know, if I see something cool or Domingo or something like that, I love doing it. You know, it's great because not everybody's going to be able to go there, you know, and I was lucky enough to get the chance to do that. So to share it with people is a gift. I'm happy to do it. You know, it's the least I can do, you know, and so it's – It's I love it. It's great. You know, I'll periscope as long as people will tune in. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And, exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. When people stop tuning in, I'll stop doing it.
But, and the realization that they're...
I try not to take advantage of it. I try not to do it very often. You know, except like geocaching day. That was
special. That's an event.
But I try not to do it, you know, a lot. And you know, but I don't find that special caches that often. So, you know, I don't
I just get a kick out of, hey, hello from Australia, hey from New Zealand, hey from Germany, hey from whatever. Crazy, and it's like, oh, my God. It just blows my mind. That and the realization of other people going, because I remember hearing certain key people that I still watch now when they do periscoping, and they, you know, because we do our shows live, and they're like, oh, I could never do live. What if I mess up?
We're doing live right now.
Yes, exactly.
And it's, we mess up all the time.
Exactly. Get used to it because it's going to happen.
Chad just fell off the air for two minutes.
So it's amazing to see them actually out and, again, coming out of their shell and actually doing stuff and being able to express themselves. That's man, it's awesome. I can't think. Yeah. You imagine going back to stick and rock? I mean, no way.
I tried to explain to my 11-year-old the other day what we didn't have when I was a kid. I was showing him old cartoons on YouTube. We're laying in his bed, and this is pretty freaking incredible. I want to swear, but I won't. Is that like we're in his bed, and I'm showing him cartoons from the 70s, right?
Yeah.
On my phone, on YouTube.
Yeah.
And we're
was it Scooby-Doo?
From the 70s. Oh my, no, it was all different ones. It just kept playing intros and snippets of all the cartoons, you know. And it was incredible. And he's laughing because he's like, this is pathetic, you know. And it was.
Look at the compared to what look at the resolution on this. What is
we
this?
We got these on Saturday morning.
Oh, yes, I told. Oh, I blew his mind with that. You know, there wasn't 24-hour cartoons.
No,
it was not 24-hour.
You
cartoons.
Had Saturday mornings, yes,
literally till noon, and that was it.
When Soul Train turned on, the cartoons turned off.
For the ABC afternoon movie or something like that, or that special,
God, we're old. I'm just saying.
It's an amazing time. You know, it's like he has no idea. I try and tell him how incredible his life is right now, how he has this 24-hour TV and this you know, this phone and iPad.
Information and all the rest of it.
You know, we didn't have this immediate information.
We had party lines on telephones.
I mean, with the fact that Twitter beats CNN to the punch when somebody dies or something like that is incredible. I knew somebody died recently, and I knew 2 hours before my dad told me. I'm like, dude, that's old news. Where have you been? He's like, CNN just told me. I'm like, Twitter told me 3 hours ago that he died.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I'm constantly seeing stuff that I read on Engadget or whatever 2 days later on the news.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you guys are a little behind the time here.
It's almost too fast.
I mean, come on. We're from a time where the information that came to us via newspaper, that's paper that you actually read articles in.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, the phones.
When's the last time you read a paper?
Oh, there's no way. I mean, I don't even read the comics anymore. I mean, that's how bad it is.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I've been reading the comics online for the last, 15 to 20 years.
Yeah,
it's bad.
It's amazing. We can do it. We'll have to do another nostalgia episode just because they're fun.
So vlogs, you got mad respect for me. I wish there was a directory. I'm too lazy to make it, but if somebody wants to,
I want it for the other people.
They should. I think it needs it.
Yeah, people can find me if they want to, and we've got different ways to do it. I want to get the ones that want to get their mark out there but don't know how to do it.
Right. When exactly. You know, you've got the Joshuas and the Memphis Mafia and that are overtaking all the M Rugbys and stuff.
They're doing the work.
The smaller people. Yeah, absolutely. You know. Yeah.
And you've got to have a love for it. I'll tell you right now, because I know people that will put it in for 6-8 months and go with this, and then I'm done. We've been doing it for years, and you got to have a love for it to keep going, to stay on top, because it's
I respect, and like I say, I'm an audio guy.
Yeah,
like I like the mic in front of me rather than the camera is what I prefer.
All right. Well, good talk. And like I said, we could switch in a nostalgia thing for the next 6 hours in a heartbeat. Just saying. So good stuff. And we hope you enjoyed all the information that we gave out about Periscope and YouTube videos. And if you got any questions, by all means, contact us at geocachingpodcast.com, and we'd be more than glad to answer any questions you have. Like those little black discs are called 45s, things like that. We'll be more than glad to discuss different things like that.
Centerfold, my first 45 ever.
Yeah.
Was that Jake Al's band? Who is that? Who did Centerfold?
God. Jake Al's band? I can't remember. Mine go back to my mom and dad. So, I mean, I remember.
Oh, that was the first one I ever
the
purchased.
Stones and all the rest. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
The first one I ever purchased was a Def Leppard album.
Yeah.
My sister left out in the sun.
You evil person, you.
Was it Def Leppard album or 45?
Album.
Which one? We're
talking 45.
45.
Yeah, I had 45s as well.
Now explain to the fine kids out there the yellow star that had to go in the center of it.
A little circle thing, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I see that on Facebook every once in a while. Yeah. Share or like if you know what this is.
And you always lost them, so you had to like angle it. You had to like to sit there and take 10 minutes to center the stupid 45 on
the
thing.
Yes, absolutely. And then the needles. Oh, man. Oh, my God. Like I said, we can hit nostalgia in a heartbeat, folks. It's just we got oodles of useless facts.
We're all old.
That's exactly it. All right. Let's close this puppy up before we bring up Doctor Who. All right. Let's go. All right, folks. So thanks. Thanks so much for staying.
I heard it's going on Amazon, by the way.
Is it really? Oh, can't wait.
Well, it went off of Twitter, and Jessie was pissed because she's about six in.
It's off. And, it's really? It's off
Twitter. I'm sorry. Do I see Twitter? Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix.
Sorry. It's off of Netflix.
Oh, my God.
Well, Jessie was pissed. And so she was going to go rent them at the library. But Amazon Prime, get this. So really quickly. Sorry, guys. I know you want to end the show. And, So Amazon, I feel like beep now. We got a whole Doctor Who segment going. So the Amazon Prime came out Monday. What's today? Wednesday. Monday they had an article saying, hey, guess what? Doctor Who was coming to Amazon Prime March 1st, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And so quickly I text Jesse. I'm like, OMG, look at this. And she's like, OMG. And then suddenly by the end of the day, they deleted the tweets. They deleted the articles. Everything. It disappeared.
Oh, my God. Somebody legally pulled something.
Either somebody pulled something or they weren't supposed to announce it or something happened. So we'll see March 1st if it goes live or not. But,
there you go.
They reneged on their Doctor Who.
Man, they're going to have a mutiny worldwide. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Because Jessie was really excited because she's like, ugh, I got to go to the library and get the DVDs. I'm like, oh, you poor thing. Yeah, I got to go get the DVDs. And
and I got to put it in the machine and hit play. I can't.
We're going to have to send the Daleks after Amazon.
All right, let's get out of here because we can. All right. Thank you, folks, for stopping on by. And I'm going to play some music. Thank you, fine folks, for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Thank you for Lisa at Cache-Advance for everything you do. Please be sure to join us at each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Corey Stevens, and Chad Courtney. This show is copyright 2016 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved. In the chimes in the background.
There they are. I hear them.
Bye, folks. Yeah.